If you're a pensioner, family member, or a sick person, you could be in a little trouble come budget time. Yesterday afternoon, the government's Commission of Audit revealed their recommendations for removing the national deficit, and they will affect almost everyone. Unless, of course, you are really well off. Senior economist and the Australian at the Australian Institute, Senior economist at the Australian Institute, Matt Gundoff, joins me now to share his thoughts. Matt, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So yesterday you were all tied up at the conference inside closed doors. What was your impression of the unfolding news as you watched it all happen?
Well, it's a very interesting commission of audit. It was actually headed up by the former head of the Business Council of Australia, and it kind of shows in the audit. Business and the well-off have been virtually untouched by this. In fact, you could almost say that business have done even better out of this because it's proposing a lot of privatisation and a lot of outsourcing of public service stuff. So there's going to be a lot of contracts out there for business and a lot of, big state monopoly sort of type infrastructure things that are up for sale. So from a business point of view, it was actually quite a good document. Not so good for those, particularly on low incomes. If you get any kind of welfare payment, it's likely that the rate that welfare payment is going to increase is going to be very low over the next sort of 10 or 15 years.
And so what were the main recommendations made by the Commission yesterday?
Well, they made a huge number of recommendations on lots of different areas. But the main thing they really did is they either they cut what's called the indexation of a whole lot of payments, which means they slow down the rate at which they increase. So they don't bite immediately, but then sort of, a few years later when it's not increasing as fast as inflation, effectively the amount of money you're getting is going down. And the other thing they did they had a go at the means testing of a lot of these things. So they made it harder for people to get them. And in some cases, this wasn't necessarily a bad thing. Some of the pension means testing stuff they did, some of the stuff around the family tax benefit was probably beneficial because it was going to quite wealthy people. And that's really the only point at which wealthy people were sort of affected by this.
And so who's going to be suffering the most? The people, are they the elderly and the unwell?
Well, I think anybody on low income. So the unemployed, for example, will have all welfare recipients, all people on pensions, will have the rate at which their benefits are increasing slowed down. The people on the minimum wage, they're proposing that the minimum wage fall in real terms by 1% every year for 10 years. People going to the doctor, they're proposing a co-payment of $15 if you want to see the doctor, which is quite strange. There are two reasons why you tax something like this. Either you want to discourage people from doing it, or you want to raise revenue. So discouraging people from seeing a GP is actually counterproductive for both health reasons and financial reasons. Preventative health saves the budget in the long run. People are better off seeing a GP. Tony Shepherd, the head of the report, actually disagreed with us and said that the average Australian visits the doctor 11 times a year, and he thought that was too high. And the other reason for putting a tax on something is to raise revenue. And we have lots of different tax bases. Sickness seems like a really dumb tax base to me. Why would you levy revenue raising on people being sick? You can level it on income, you can level it on spending, you can level it on profits. Why sickness?
Matt, what about education? What did the recommendations say about that?
There was quite a lot on education. If you've got a help debt, it's likely that the interest rate that you pay on that will be higher into the future. It's also likely that people on lower incomes will have to pay their help debt back sooner. So they're deregulating fully the fees paid for bachelor degrees. So it's likely that universities can charge whatever they like for university fees. Which means that some universities certainly are likely to put their fees up. So there was a range, as I said, it was 900 pages. The whole thing weighed 5 kilos. There were lots and lots of recommendations in there. But really the thrust of it was low and middle income earners were the most badly hit, whereas the wealthy and businesses got off fairly cheaply.
Is there anything positive to take out of the recommendations, Matt?
Well, there were some things. They did look at how to run the government more efficiently with sort of amalgamations and getting rid of some boards and stuff, which some of them might be quite effective. As I said, there was some increasing of means testing, particularly on the family tax benefit and the pension, which could be quite valuable. But on the whole, this was really a way of cutting spending quite savagely. And what's interesting in this entire context is they didn't really talk about tax at all. They didn't talk about raising taxes, for example, which is another way of fixing the deficit. Now, at the moment, spending's at about average. It's about 24-25% of GDP, which is basically the long-run average for federal spending. Tax or revenue is actually below the long-term revenue. It's about 22% when it's usually about 24-25%. So the budget, the federal budget at the moment, actually has a revenue problem, not a spending problem. And their solution to cut spending basically means that in the long run we'll have lower taxes, but we'll also have lower services. And you can see that in the audit. In order to reach this new low level of spending, they have to actually start cutting quite savagely into things that people are quite used to having.
Matt Gundoff is a senior economist at the Australian Institute, and he joins me now talking about the recommendations from the Commission of Audit. Now, the Australia Institute, Matt, has proposed different areas we could make different savings. What do you propose?
Well, one of the big ones that wasn't mentioned at all, despite the fact that they had a lot to say about retirement, around the pension and things like that, was super tax concessions. So super tax concessions are basically the way in which the government allows you to pay less tax when you pay into your super account and the funds that you generate in your super account. And at the moment, they're $35 billion a year. Now, the whole pension is only about $40 billion a year, and super tax concessions are growing a lot faster, so that in a couple of years, they'll be quite a lot bigger than the full payment of the pension. And most of these super tax concessions go to the very wealthy. So about a third, $10 billion a year, goes to the top 5% of wealth holders in Australia. And now, super tax concessions are designed to encourage us to save more in our retirement in order to take pressure off the pension. But the top 5% of wealth holders were never going to draw a pension. So effectively, we're giving $10 billion a year to these people for no good reason. So that's a great way that the government could save some money. There's also a... Yep.
Sorry, Matt, I was going to talk about public assets like Australia Post and the NBN. What is the risk of selling those off?
Well, usually there's a reason that government is involved in business. I mean, the government over the years has cut back. If you go back 50 years, government was involved in all sorts of things. In fact, they even own sort of things like brick factories and stuff like that. But over the years, we've cut back pretty much everything, or quite a lot of the sort of businesses government's involved. And the only ones that are really left are there for a reason. They're usually what economists call natural monopolies. That is, they're in a market and they have a lot of market power. And the reason that the government controls them is because if a private institute did, then they could use that market power to gouge, to increase prices and gouge customers. So when you're looking at privatisation at this point in time, there are sort of no Qantases and Commonwealth banks and brick factories left to sell. You've really got to begin to ask yourself, well, why do we want to privatise these things? I mean, Australia Post provides a lot of services to rural and remote areas. If we get rid of those, or if we've privatised those, there's no reason in the world why an Australia Post going forward is going to want to particularly do that. And I mean, as far as the NBN Co, that's quite interesting in that the government, and it had bipartisan support in this, had to set up the NBN Co because we privatised Telstra, and we worked out that the private market wasn't going to build us a world-class information superhighway. And so the government then had to re-enter, start building the NBN Co, and now we're talking, well, we'll just privatise that again until we need something different, and then the government will have to go in at great expense and do it again. It's kind of a lesson in why you shouldn't privatise.
And Matt, just finally, these are, of course, recommendations. What are the chances of the government taking on all of these cuts?
Taking on all of them, basically zero. Taking on half of them, I would say, there's almost no chance of that. If you think back a few years to the Henry Tax Review, I think the Labor Party took on one recommendation from that. As a general rule, these kind of commissions of audit are used to soften electorate up, to show how bad it could possibly be. And then when the government introduces some some nasties in the budget, they can say, well, it wasn't as bad as what you thought it was going to be. So I think they will definitely look at some of these, and they'll probably take on board some, but there's virtually no chance at all that they're going to take the whole commission of audit. So it'll be interesting in the next week or so to see what comes out of the budget.
Well, Matt, I'm certain we will be covering that over next week on Breakfast on Radio Adelaide. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.